All right, it's Father's Day. I got a couple Father's Day jokes for you. I got a couple dad jokes for you. So you know how good dad jokes can be. All right, I've just got a couple. First one, did you know that the first French fries were not cooked in France? They were cooked in Greece. Some of you thought that was pretty funny. What did the buffalo say to his son when he left? Bison. I'd tell you a joke about pizza, a Father's Day joke about pizza, but it's a little cheesy. I know, don't quit my day job. Don't try to be a comedian. I'm not going to torture you anymore. But this morning, we're going to talk about a particular dad in the Old Testament. In fact, he is the dad in the Old Testament, Father Abraham. We're going to talk about Abraham this morning, and we're going to talk about his life and how he is a model father. And how he is a model father. And I just want to look a few minutes at some instances in his life where he displayed being a model father. Because we can see some good and some bad instances that we can take away from his life and say, yep, that's being a dad. The first one we're going to find in Genesis 12. And this is right after God has told him to go out. God's basically said, trust me, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And he goes out and he travels to different places. And then there's a famine getting ready to come. And he tells him to go down to Egypt. And then Abraham gets overthinking things. And says, I go down here and I'm going to have trouble because my wife, she's good looking. And the Pharaoh down there is going to see her and want to be with her. And this is going to cause all sorts of problems. So listen to what he tells Sarah. Listen to the plan that he tells Sarah. Genesis 12, verses 11 through 13, he says, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, then they will kill. Say that you are my sister so that I will be treated well for your sake and my life will be spared because of you. And when they arrived, sure enough, the Egyptians saw her and said, you are just simply beautiful. And she lied and she just said, yep, he's just relation. And so she was brought into Pharaoh's palace. Abraham was taken care of very well. Abraham did some shopping. He bought some supplies. He bought sheep, cattle, donkeys, servants, camels. He was getting stored up for this famine. He was getting prepared. He was doing really well. And then God, wanting to make sure things are done right, inflicted a disease on Pharaoh and his whole household just because Sarah was there. And Pharaoh sent to Abraham. He said, come here, I need to talk to you. And this is what Pharaoh says in verses 18 to 19 of Genesis 12. What have you done to me? Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? So that I took her to be my wife. Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. Pharaoh's saying, you lied to me. You know what? There's no excuse. It's not worth it. Get out of my country. Get out of here. Abraham didn't set a good example. I wonder how furious Sarah was for being told, I need you to go do this lie. I wonder what his servants thought of him. They probably didn't look up to him as much. He caused a lot of trouble. And you know what? This isn't the only time he does this. In Genesis 20, you find almost the exact same story with another leader. He's afraid, so he tells Sarah, just say you're my sister. And the same thing happens. He's going to get a reputation. He's definitely not being a good example. And that's my first point this morning. A model of example. Now, the stories that happened in Genesis 12 and 20 happened before Isaac was born. It's recorded in Genesis 21, Isaac's birth. So both times that Abraham did this happened before Isaac was born. But you know, word gets around. You hear stories. Did you hear about the time your dad did this? And not only did he do it once, he did it twice. You know, our children watch us. It's cute when our children watch us and mimic us. I can do something and one of my kids will try and copy me, and it's hilarious. But when we do something bad, that example is not a good example for them to follow. But children will still do it anyway. Sometimes adult children will follow what their parents are doing. And this is the case that happened with Abraham's son Isaac. In fact, in Genesis 26, verses 7 through 10, if you want to turn your Bibles over there, listen to what Isaac did. Genesis 26, verses 7 through 10. Listen to what happens. When the men of that place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister," because he was afraid to say, "She is my wife." He thought the men of this place might kill me on account of Rebekah, because she is beautiful. When Isaac had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked down from a window and saw Isaac caressing his wife Rebekah. So Abimelech summoned Isaac and said, "She is really your wife. Why did you say she is my sister?" Isaac answered him, "Because I thought I might lose my life on account of her." Then Abimelech said, "What is this you have done to us? One of the men might well have slept with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us." That sound familiar? I wonder where he got that idea from. Good old dad. Dad did it. Yeah, he got caught twice, but I won't. But yet he did. Sometimes dads can be good examples and dads can be bad examples. As dads, as parents, we need to be good examples. Because kids will see what we do or hear of what we do and will imitate it. Again, it's cute when it's good, but when it's bad, it leads to trouble. So the solution is simple. Parents, imitate Christ. Imitate Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So that way, if kids see us imitating Christ, they imitate us. So guess who the kids then are going to be imitating? Christ. That sounds a lot better, doesn't it? Imitating Christ and imitating us. We should want our kids to desire to imitate Christ. Let your kids see your life in Christ as well. That's another good thing that we should do. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 through 3. "You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts, to be known and be read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Kids know. Kids know. They're smart. They are so smart. And they can see if you love God. It's always great when they start asking questions. Because they see his parents acting in a way that follows God, then they got questions. When they got questions, it's because they see us. This is what they want to know, and they want to know why. We need to be imitators of God. We need to imitate it in our lives so our kids see that, and we pray that they model that example. And again, not just when the kids are little, but when the kids are fully grown as well. We still continue to model Christ. The next model we see in Abraham's life, we saw a model of example. We also see a model of love. In Genesis 21, again we see that Sarah gave birth to Isaac. Remember, Sarah was very old. Sarah didn't think she was going to have kids, even though God told her she was going to have a child. She still didn't believe it, so she told Abraham to go have sex with Hagar so he could have a child. And Hagar bore him Ishmael. So, but that wasn't God's plan. That was Sarah's plan, who thought she was wiser than God, I guess, at that point, and thought, yeah, I'll make sure that this happens the way God wants. I'll make sure he has a child. But that's not what God wanted. It wasn't God's timing. Sarah was going to have a child when God was ready for her to have a child. But Sarah told him to do this, and Abraham was dumb enough to listen and go do that. And then there's some animosity that grew between Ishmael and Isaac, between Sarah and Hagar. And finally, Sarah had enough, and she said, I want them out of here. I want them gone. I don't want them around anymore. Ishmael is not Sarah's child. Sarah has no connection. For Abraham, this is his son. And we find there, we see Abraham's love for Ishmael. In Genesis 21, verse 11, after Sarah had said those words, this is what's recorded. The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. We can see there in this passage Abraham's love for Ishmael. It's his son. He doesn't want anything to happen to him. Just like any parent wouldn't want anything to happen to their children. When something happens, it breaks our hearts. It tears us up inside. We don't feel right. We feel uncomfortable. We feel out of place because something's happening to our kids. And we don't want anything to happen to our kids. We want the best for our children. And something was about to happen to Ishmael. Now it's a tough situation. God says, you got to trust me. You got to trust me here. Listen to Sarah and let them go. Send them away. And you know, Abraham just had to be beside himself. He was distressed because this concerned his son. Fathers, how much do you love your children? How much do you love your sons and your daughters? How do you model that love to them? Do you spend time with them? Do you spend time with your children? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. He's talking there about teaching them wisely, but we have to be around them to teach them. We have to be there with them to teach them. You know, back then they didn't have phones. They didn't have video displays that you could talk to them 50 miles away. How much time do you spend with your children? Now, I know not everybody has 8-year-olds and 2-year-olds like Ashley and me. Some of your adults are older. The situations are a little different. But it's always good to keep in contact. It's always good to make sure you connect with them. We love our children. Do we pray for them? Do we pray for our children? Here's an example in 1 Chronicles of David praying for Solomon. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts towards you. Grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart that he may keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, performing all, and that he may build the palace for which I have made provision. Do you pray for your kids? Do you pray for your children? Do you lift them up to the Lord in prayer? Now, this may not work for everybody here. Do you discipline your children? Hebrews 12, verse 6 says, For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Young children, do you discipline the young children? If we truly love our children and want them to be right, or want them to do right, we discipline them. When they're older, we're honest with them and tell them the truth. Maybe they're making some wrong choices. And we're honest with them and say, I don't think what you're doing is right. Those are never good conversations. But we love them. We want what's best for them. And finally this morning, we talked about a model of example, a model of love, a model of faith. A model of faith. Abraham displayed that model of faith in a big, big way. Genesis chapter 22. You can turn in your Bibles over there. Genesis chapter 22. We find Abraham called on to do a sacrifice. And this was no normal sacrifice. Abraham was called to sacrifice his son. Let me read to you. Verses 1 through 3 of chapter 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here am I, he replied. Then God said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. Wow, you just think about that. Think about that statement for a second. Abraham, go sacrifice your son. Go. I don't need you to do this. What had God have been promising Abraham for about 25 years? a son. 25 years they've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and not all the time patiently. But they've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and finally they have a son. And then God says, I want you to go sacrifice him. It's easy to think, why would God say that? God said he was going to bless him and make him the father of many nations. God said he was going to make his name great through his lineage. He was going to be, his family line was going to go down for a long time. It's going to be great, turned into a great nation. His only son then is about to be sacrificed. How does this make sense? We know Abraham had faith. When you look in Hebrews, in the Hall of Faith, in that Hebrews 11, it talks about Abraham knew something was going to happen. At worst, Isaac was going to die and God was going to bring him back. He trusted. Abraham had faith. And Isaac gets to see that trust, that faith. Come on, Isaac. Come on, let's go. We got to go sacrifice for the Lord. And Isaac comes along. Here is a dad displaying his faith to his son. It is so essential that we display our faith to our children. We don't want our children to grow up not knowing the Lord. It's essential that they're brought to church, gathered with other believers. They see there are other believers. It's essential we teach them to pray, teach them to read. Teach them to read the Word of God. To have a relationship. Debbie, this verse isn't on there, but I'm going to read one to you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline of the Lord. In other words, show them your faith and show them how to live it. Display it to them. And then Abraham even took that a step further. We see it there in verses 6 through 12 of chapter 22. It says this, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham! Here am I, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. A couple notes here about this passage. Earlier in this passage, in verse 6, Abraham has Isaac carry the wood. Now you think about, if they're having a sacrifice for Isaac to carry the wood, it's not just one or two logs. Isaac is not a little boy. Isaac is not a little boy. Isaac is a little older. So it makes you wonder, when Abraham binds him, we see the faith of Isaac as well. There is no way Abraham, over 100 years old, could catch his son. That's not going to happen. He's not going to catch his son. If Isaac says, no, Dad, I'm not going to do this, and takes off running, it's not going to happen. Isaac trusts too. Abraham modeled faith. Isaac saw that model and grew in faith as well. That was his own faith. If he was just mimicking his parents' faith, that wouldn't have happened. Not if it would have cost him his life. Isaac trusted as well. And that is the greatest thing we could want to see happen, that our kids model faith as well. Abraham trusted God, and he had that knife right there. And don't you think he was sweating to this point? And then as soon as that angel hollered, he just probably pulled that hand back as quick as he could. But Abraham trusted. And so did Isaac. But Abraham showed that faith. We read in James chapter 2, verses 22 through 24. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scriptures was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Not only did Abraham say he had faith, he lived it. That's what it's saying there, by works. We don't earn our salvation by works, but he lived his faith. He showed his faith, and his son saw his faith, and his son began to have a faith in God. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen every single time. Not every child is going to see a parent's faith and going to choose to accept that faith on his own. We know that doesn't happen. But shame on us if we don't show it. We got to let them see it, and they have to make a choice. They have to make that choice. Give them the chance to make that choice. Show your faith. Show your love for God. Be an example. It's the greatest lesson we can pass on to our children. Be an example. Not just for fathers, but for all parents. Be an example. Be a model. A model of love. A model example. A model of faith. And finally this morning, I want to wrap up with this. We've been talking about earthly fathers. I want to wrap up with our heavenly Father, our eternal Father. We so desperately need him in our lives. We think about how great our Father is. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, I'm going to close with these words. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Our only hope is through our eternal Father and his one and only Son, Jesus. This morning we offer a time of invitation. We offer a time of invitation. If somebody here does not know God, does not know Jesus, and you want to know your Heavenly Father, the Heavenly Father, you want to make him your Heavenly Father, you can do that today by coming forward and accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior, being baptized into him, start repenting of your ways, and living a life following God. You can do that today. We're going to sing a song of invitation. This is a little different. We're not going to have anybody standing up front. If you want to come forward, come up, stand on the front row. I'll talk to you as soon as we finish the song.